Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
And it's time now for our Friday gathering, and this week I'm joined from our Limerick studio by Fine Gael TD for Limerick County and Minister of State with responsibility for the Office of Public Works and the Gaeltacht, Patrick O'Donovan, Social Democrats TD for Dublin North West and spokesperson for Health, Finance, Public Expenditure and the National Development Plan, Roisin Shortall, political correspondent with the Irish Mirror, Louise Byrne, and group head of news at independent.ie, Kevin Doyle. And thanks everybody for being with us today. So let's talk about the issue firstly that dominated politics this week, the protest in Roscrea, the wider issue of how we accommodate people who are seeking international protection, people who are homeless, people who are coming here from Ukraine at a time when there isn't enough housing to meet demand. Kevin, I might just come to you first to start us on this. Your assessment after that week, how that situation in Roscrea was managed?
Very badly, I think, by everybody involved. And by that, I mean some of the people locally and also by the government. And I think there's an unfortunate situation, and we've seen it in a few different towns now, where there are people with very genuine concerns. They are worried about the dynamic of their town, about the facilities and the services in their town. But when you end up standing shoulder to shoulder with racists and people who are using this for a much darker agenda, you end up in a scenario where you're on the 6 o'clock news with people screaming and roaring at children. And that has happened. I know people will not like that being said in Roscrea or around there, but that is essentially the picture and the image we are left with after this week, is people roaring and shouting at children. Mm-hmm. And then on the flip side, you have the government who have kind of bounced into a response of, let's buy an old hotel and see can we do that up, and not really any plan for it. It's just kind of a sop, if I'm honest.
This is the plan to convert the old Grand's Hotel in the centre of Roscrea into a community-run hotel.
So the hotel which was closed, and to base this on a hotel in Monaghan that got funding related to the Good Friday Agreement, which is a very different thing, because the people in Monaghan seem to have wanted to build that community centre and run that community centre. Roscrea, it's not coming organically. This is just an idea that has come up, that people, that the government might buy this hotel, and then people will have to actually invest their energy in running that. So it's not as clear cut, I think, as going, oh, she have a hotel again now, that's grand, or somewhere for the communions to go. So I think on both sides, it has been a really bad week.
But what are you saying the government could have done?
Well, the first thing I think the government could have done is, this problem has been coming for probably a year now, and there has been very little done in advance to head off a lot of these problems. We've seen it all around Europe. We have seen it mounting on smaller scales in different towns. So the opportunity was missed to get ahead of it. Now, mm-hmm. you can do the old Brian Cowan thing and say we are where we are and start from here. There has still been so little communication in terms of the actual genuine situation about how asylum seekers and international protection works in this country. I think most people don't actually understand the system. Things like open borders is just thrown out there and there's no real challenge to it. We hear ministers talk about misinformation, but they don't actually tell us what the misinformation is and then give us the facts of what is happening. I think if people understood the whole system a bit better, maybe people in Roscrea might be a bit more understanding of what is actually happening.
Well, Patrick O'Donovan, can you deal with those two points that Kevin makes there? The issue around communication about how the system works, and the response then being this knee-jerk response, it would seem, you know, taking you into this community-run hotel. We don't quite know how that works. But that all comes because of a lack of planning for government in terms of where this accommodation is going to be.
Well, I would agree with Kevin on one point, which is that we've seen all this all across Europe, and this has been a huge, huge challenge, not just for Ireland, for the United Kingdom, for Italy, for Greece, for countries all over Europe, for as far north as Sweden, Finland and Norway. So this is not anything that's unique to Ireland. And to say that the government has done nothing, I think even by Kevin's stretch of the imagination, that's a bit unfair. In 2022, there was a little bit over 3,000 people in IPES. By the way, it's not that long ago, a lot of opposition politicians wanted IPES totally abolished. We're glad now we didn't do that. But we've gone to a situation where today that has increased by threefold. It's about 27,000 people in IPES. Not to mention the fact that we have, under the EU directive that's agreed with 27 member states, taken 100,000 people from Ukraine. So it's very easy to say that, you know, the government has done nothing. Like, if the government could have forecast that Russia was going to invade Ukraine and have the consequences upon it, well, it probably should have shared that information with countries like Poland and Slovakia that have taken over a million in some cases.
But
so
Patrick,
this is not something
the,
that is unique
when
to
the,
Ireland.
When the invasion happened, if I could just make this point.
I think it's unfair to portray this as an Irish problem because
and
it is
I don't think anybody is saying that. But when the invasion happened, and it's coming up on 3 years now, isn't it? When the invasion happened, on 2 years rather, when the invasion happened, we were told from government that there would be between 100,000 and 200,000 people coming here from Ukraine.
Yeah.
And people will say, well, nothing has been done apart from this continuous emergency response. There hasn't been a concrete plan from government as to how to deal with this.
And if you show me a Western European country that has been able to deal with this in a manner in which hasn't caused huge levels of disruption to it, you know, I'd welcome the example. Because every single European country, even the Western European ones, the ones that are furthest away from the Ukrainian border, have had massive levels of people that have had to flee that country. And none of them have a silver bullet. And with all the opposition time that has been taken up on this, I have yet to hear an example of a country that has given a foolproof method to be able to solve this crisis. Okay. Because this is not just in relation to Ukraine. Like, someone made the point the other week, if a person presents at Dublin Airport from Afghanistan, who do you ring? Do you ring the Taliban and ask to take him back? If a person presents from Syria, who do you ring? Do you ring Mr. Assad? Like, we're dealing with people here who are coming from, in many cases, countries without a functional government, and who are coming from the worst levels of atrocity that has been wreaked since the Second World War.
Roisin, can I hear from you on this? Because Patrick says nobody has a solution to this. Nobody has an idea as to how to make this system better, you know?
Well, nobody's suggesting that there's a silver bullet. There isn't. What's needed is basic planning and a strategy around this. Now, you know, nobody saw the invasion of Ukraine by Russia taking place 2 years ago, but it is 2 years ago. And the problem is that the impact of that in terms of Ukrainians coming to Ireland happened on top of a dysfunctional international protection system, which had never been kind of put in place properly, and on top of a housing crisis. And that's the difficulty. Now, nobody was saying that that was an easy situation 2 years ago, but 2 years down the line, the government now should be in a situation where there's a strategy and there has been planning for this. Because it's not now a surprise. And the increase in the number of people coming in here seeking international protection, that has spiked in the last couple of years. But we're now just getting to the average European level of migration. So what we need is for the government to take responsibility as on the basis of a whole of government responsibility. What we've seen in the last couple of years is this area being left, almost entirely to Roderick O'Gorman. Now, you know, there are many other government departments who have a role to play in this.
But they've all been asked, haven't they? They've all been asked for a list of their assets that could be used
in the
for
main,
housing.
They're keeping their head down and they don't really want to be involved. This has to be a whole of government response. That's why the Social Democrats have called for a cross-departmental task force. And we believe that should be driven by the Taoiseach's department. Now, you said there about government departments being asked for, you know, vacant accommodation. Very little has come that way. So we're in a situation, IPAS and Roderick O'Gorman's department has been operating on the basis of accepting more or less any offer of accommodation that they get. And, you know, there's a lot of different interests now, commercial interests, seeing this as a very lucrative thing to get into. And, you know, it makes sense commercially for them to switch to providing this accommodation. Whether or not that accommodation is in an appropriate location, whether it's suitable, whether there's appropriate management of that. And people, local people, have legitimate questions that they raise. For example, what are these people going to be doing all day? Will there be activities? Is there support for integration in the local community? What about the fact that, you know, but many...
The briefing document that came from the Department of Integration around this situation in Ross Grey had very detailed information on how that would be managed, and that it would be managed and the services would be in place, and it still wasn't acceptable.
But are the services being put in place? I mean, my experience, I have to say, in the main, is that you hear about a proposal to locate... refugees in a particular centre, and it's going to happen in the next couple of days. I also have experience where, for example, the local authority wouldn't have been informed about that. None of the other agencies that could support people
in those circumstances.
That's changing
now, though, isn't it? That has changed. But Louise, you're shaking your head.
There is no template
not to the
for
extent
that.
That it should be. I mean, I was looking, I had heard about a property a couple of weeks ago, and I was ringing around local councillors, local TDs, ministers, and none of them had a clue what I was talking about. And it was only then when I went and I asked the department that I got the answer that this place was being looked at for Ukrainian refugees, and none of the local reps knew. So I think there is a big communication issue, and I know there is an argument in some cohorts that, listen, if you, even if you do communicate with some of the people who are being accused of being far right or racist or anti-immigrant, that that's not going to stop them doing what they're doing. It's not going to stop burnings being built down, burnt down. That's fine. That's one argument. But I do think you need to be speaking to local communities. And I think issues like we have seen in Ross Grey, you know, you can't blame the Department of Integration for when accommodation is offered up, taking it immediately. They're still, whether it's right or wrong, on an emergency footing, they are being reactive rather than proactive, and I think that's been one of the big issues of this over the last nearly three years. But the local people with legitimate concerns have to be listened to, and if you communicate with them in time, well, then you stop the anti-immigrant people, you stop the racist people, you stop the so-called far right coming in and completely overshadowing legitimate concerns. And that is what is happening time and time again, and that's why we're not having a proper debate on immigration and asylum seekers.
Yes, just coming back then to Ross Grey and to the Racket Hall Hotel, Patrick O'Donovan, and legitimate concerns. I know you know that area very well. I know it well myself. I know the hotel. I know how important it is to the town. So you can understand when Thursday week people heard, no, it's going to be closed down and it's going to become this new centre for people who are seeking asylum. You can understand how the community was confused, worried and upset at that.
Of course I do. I mean, I worked in North Tipperary for a good number of years, and I know Ross Grey well. And actually, when I was Minister for Tourism, I reopened the Racket Hall officially. And, you know, it's not too unlike most provincial towns in Ireland, the ones that I represent. There's one hotel, there's communions, there's weddings booked in there. There will be the receiving parties afterwards of funerals that would take place there. Not to mention the commercial activity that takes place in the town on the basis of, you know, commercial travellers that stay in hotels like the Racket Hall. So it's a huge loss. And again, I don't agree with Kevin, you know, who's from up the road himself and would know the impact of this. If the community have come together in Tipperary County Council are amenable to the old Grand's Hotel in the middle of the town being looked at like something that has been done in Monaghan, I think that should be considered, because I heard on Morning Ireland this morning a very positive story, albeit from a totally different funding source, from a north-south funding source. But, you know, Heather Humphrey's department has provided a lot of money, including to my own constituency, because we have had IP now longer than most parts of the country, and we've had a lot of calls for it down through the years from various different political parties of all hues have it closed down. And I'm sure there's people very glad that those beds are available now. But in response to communities that have taken in large numbers of Ukrainians or have historically had large numbers of international protection, significant investment has been made for amenities and things like that. So there's no reason that working with Tipperary County Council on the basis that what has been done in Monaghan, that a similar situation can't be contrived. And I'm sure this is something that they're going to work out themselves. But just getting back to the people of Ross Grey, I think it has been desperately unfair, some of the commentary that has been levelled against them. They're worried, and it's a natural fear. 15% of their population is now not from the town of Ross Grey, it's from outside of the island of Ireland, and that has happened in the last couple of years.
But that can be a very positive thing.
It can be, and the Taoiseach has acknowledged that there is a communications problem here. But if you look at it at the moment, like, international protection people don't go on booking.com and give advance notice to the government of Ireland that they're on their way. These people literally will take any and all available options to get out of the hell that they're living in Afghanistan or Syria or wherever it is. And when they come here, you know, what they're getting is probably not what they're expecting, but it probably is a gazillion times better than what's at home. So the government, and I think it is...
Sorry, Roisin wants to come in.
No, I just want to remind Patrick
that,
you know, there's an expert group set up by the government.
Still talking there now, because you don't have your headphones on.
And I have the benefit of being in a remote part.
Listen, I don't think she was aware you were still speaking, to be fair to Roisin. Just finish your point there and then I'll go to Roisin.
The government have taken on in excess of the population of Galway in the last 2 years. Okay. Now, anybody that could have said and have housed them and accommodated them in a variety of different ways, that is not a failure.
Okay, Roisin, go ahead.
Yeah, look, I think it's important to remind Patrick that the government set up an expert group a number of years ago. That group reported in November 2022 and they said that we needed 6 reception centres, purpose-built reception centres. Not a single one of those has been provided. And, you know, again, it gets down to the lack of long-term planning and any kind of strategy or process around this. Now, like, why wasn't that done? The expert group said that that was the capacity that we needed. Six large-scale reception centres.
A lot of the people...
And like, it's because of government inaction that we're now in a situation where we're operating at crisis levels.
Can I just say, in relation to that, can you imagine if there was no war in Ukraine and we didn't have the situation that we have in IPAS at the moment, that at the time that the 6 reception centres were being proposed, can you imagine the hysteria that would be from some people in the opposition benches jumping up and down at the moment, saying that you're creating
that's pure speculation, Minister. That's pure speculation.
I know how this works, Roisin.
That's what the government were advised to do, and you have utterly failed to do that.
I know, and you know how this works. If the government had gone down that road, a range of political parties would have been saying, oh, it's an absolute, total and utter failure, you're now going to imprison them.
Look, here's a minister again describing the problem rather than taking any responsibility for the failure of the government to address this matter. Look, we need to deal with this now and we need to ensure that those reception centres are provided as quickly as possible.
The minister said this week that they're on the way.
Well, what does on the way mean?
I don't know. He did say it. Listen, I want to move to housing now and I want to play a clip from the Dáil just to get us started on this. This is Minister Heather Humphreys, who was answering Mary Lou MacDonald at Leaders' Questions. And she suggested, this was in response to Mary Lou MacDonald around Christmas time, said that Sinn Féin would bring down the average cost of a house, 300,000. But Heather Humphreys suggested it was impossible to deliver houses anywhere in the country for that figure.
I'll tell you, I was talking to a farmer the other day and his son is building a house on his own land and he said he cannot build that house for 300,000. It won't happen, it can't happen, and that's getting the site for nothing. So if it can't be done in Monaghan, it can't be done in Dublin.
Kevin, what did you make of that?
Well, anyone who's ever watched Dermot Bannon knows that she's telling the truth, I suppose, is the first thing, which is admirable. I'm not sure it's the best defence of where we are in terms of the housing crisis when you can't build a house in Monaghan for 300,000. It doesn't seem like a great defence. But the point that she's trying to make there is valid, which I think is that the thing that Mary Lou has floated about getting houses in Dublin down to €300,000 is pie in the sky. How on earth could it be achieved? That still hasn't been put forward. Mm-hmm. So the point Heather Humphreys is making is right. I'm just not sure that the example she gives will make people think, oh, right, so that's grand.
Yeah, but Louise, it's an awful indictment, isn't it? Somebody there in Monaghan who has the site, that doesn't have to pay for the site, can't build a house for 300,000.
I mean, it is. And, you know, the government, I'm sure Minister O'Donovan is about to say that they can't control the cost of inflation and inflation in building materials. But, I mean, the cost of housing, we can all accept it. It is far too high and it does need to come down. And I think even if the government can't get a home down to 300,000, like Mary Lou MacDonald is suggesting, what are they doing to bring the costs of homes down in general? We have seen that the prices of houses are high, are staying high, coming down slightly in some parts, but not nearly enough for anyone to be able to afford to buy a home in this, well, not for anyone to buy a home, but for a lot of people to buy a home. And a lot of people are facing into a prospect of being lifelong renters. So, you know, it's the government has to do something to bring down the price of homes. And even if they can't get it done down to 300,000, they can't just be taking a dig at Sinn Féin by saying that this is what it should be at. They should be actually trying to bring the cost of house down something more reasonable.
And Roisin, do you think it could be done? 300,000.
I think it can be done. You know, the government seems to rely on this idea that if you increase the supply of housing, the price will automatically come down. And that doesn't necessarily follow. The rules of supply and demand don't apply to housing because of the unknown factor of the cost of the site. And we know that, for example, during the boom, there were huge numbers of houses being built and prices stayed very high. So you have to look at the elements. And obviously, you know, land hoarding and the cost of land is a major factor in the cost of housing. So, you know, I don't think anybody is suggesting that you can bring down. Maybe Sinn Féin are, and I haven't seen any evidence that that's possible to have housing generally at 300,000.
I think that's exactly what was suggested, actually. Was that the average house in Dublin, in your constituency, Roisin, where I live, where you'd be doing very well to get anything for 400,000.
If she was suggesting that, I don't think there's any evidence that you can do that in terms of the average price of housing. But it is possible to build houses. The state can arrange the building of houses for around 300,000. And that has been shown, for example, in my own constituency by the Ócualán co-op housing group. And they've built very large numbers of houses in Ballymun and in other areas. And they do that because the site, the service site, is provided free to them. And all of the government levies are waived in relation to that.
It's not much use to the family in Monaghan trying to build a house with their own site and it's 300,000. They're not going to get them out the gap.
That may be the case, but I'm saying that the government can ensure that we have a large supply of houses that are affordable. And the way to do that is to follow that Ócualán model, rather than, you know, leaving it all to the private sector, where there's a profit margin in that and there are a whole lot of other expenses.
All right.
Ócualán, we're doing it last year for about 240. Prices have gone up with materials and so on, but they're now able to do that for about 310 with state support.
Okay.
That is a lot less than the state support that the government is currently providing.
Patrick, what did you make of the point that Heather was making? The family have the site, they cannot build that house for 300,000 in Monaghan.
Well, one of the benefits of being down the country in a remote studio is you can do a bit of Googling while everybody else is talking. And I just found a press release from Roisin here from 2018 calling for the abolition of direct provision. So it's interesting to see she now wants six centres built for it. But anyway, you know, what Sinn Féin are proposing here is going to plunge people all over the country that are listening to this into massive, massive amounts of negative equity. And I mean, if you take it that the proposal is going to see the average price of a house, according to the Society of Chartered Surveyors of Ireland, go from 460 to 300,000, you know, 160,000 euros of a drop. I did a back of an envelope calculation in my own constituency based on the CSO figures. It'll mean that the negative equity that the people of County Limerick will have under a Sinn Féin stroke left-wing government will be of the region of 90,000. That's not 90,000 now that they're going to get off the price of the house. That's 90,000 that they're going to have to pay back the bank, but they'll never get it back because obviously they must be proposing some sort of constitutional change to cap the price of land because it will be a complete infringement on people's rights. Other than that, it's one of these kind of, you know, will-o'-the-wisp type promises, no more than another party saying we're going to build a million houses. It's just to catch attention. So wouldn't we all love houses for 300,000? We'd all love houses for 130,000.
So it's not possible, you're saying.
It's fantasy stuff.
It's being done. It's being done. That's the point.
It's not being done. It's being done when the government, you know, if you add two and two, you get four. The government's subsidy has to be added on to the price of the house. That doesn't mean that the house is any cheaper. It still is the same price. Like what they're talking about is capping the price of a house in the Dublin region, an average of 300,000. So a lot of your constituents will now be looking and saying, what are we paying a mortgage for? If they change government and they're going to go into government with that crowd, are they going to wipe 167,000 euros off the value of my house and cause another property crash?
You know, but the polling in the Sunday Independent said that people are, in the main, not that upset about negative equity. And a lot of people who have skin in the game are parents of children who are still living at home
and
who would like to see them being able to buy an affordable house.
If you ask anybody a question of that nature, would you like to see a situation where the average price of a house in Dublin is 300,000? 99% of the people are going to say yes. But sure, you're going to get the answer for the question that you ask. But like, would you like to see the average price of a house capped in Dublin at 100,000? or 300,000 with a property crash, with massive immigration, with huge unemployment. Because what happens, 80% of the current money that's going into the Irish housing market is from private sources. So what are they going to do? They're going to disappear. What builder, what developer, what landowner is going to get into any sort of an arrangement with a government that's going to introduce capping on the price of houses?
I mean, the government is meant to be building affordable houses and yet are not hitting targets. So, I mean, perhaps if the government could hit their affordable housing targets, there might be more affordable houses available for people to buy.
On this station this morning, and I don't think this station is an unreliable source of news, it says that 2023 will be a record year for housing output.
Yeah, but that's overall targets, though. That's not.
And let me finish. And over 85% of the people who bought houses in Ireland last year were first-time buyers. So that doesn't add up into what you're saying.
Just before we finish, you mentioned a press release from Roisin, and I just want to give you the opportunity to respond. I'll just remind you what you said. Direct provision was only ever intended as a short-term solution. It has turned into a national disgrace. And you say that it should be dismantled. You say that instead of institutionalising families and children in what are the Magdalen laundries of today, the government should work to replace direct provision with a humane asylum system.
Yeah. And we do need a humane asylum system. Yes, we do need a humane asylum system. And we don't have that at the moment. And that's why there's a need to have a plan to integrate people who come into this country. But the first thing you have to do is to ensure that there is adequate accommodation available.
All right, got to go. We're done. Thank you very much indeed. We're out of time.